All right, welcome back to the I'm Talking It podcast. Sorry for that little break. But I think it's a good time, boys, to move on to Annie Hall.
Yes.
Okay. Woody Allen's Best Picture winner, Annie Hall, coming out in 1977, starring Diane Keaton, showing the rise and fall of Alvy Sinha's relationship with Annie Hall herself. Anything to add on there that you think is important for the listeners to know?
The plot, right. I think you covered it.
Well, let's start with Woody Allen himself.
Oh my God.
Obviously, yeah. He plays main character, Alvy Sinha. And I thought I saw with the own, I thought, you know, we say, you know, Woody Allen plays the same character in every single film of his. And he certainly lives up to the hype in this one. But it is, of course, a hilarious character. His use of the audience, you know, the use of kind of his neurotic personality, which I think he very much has in his own life.
Personally, I because after seeing quite a lot of Woody Allen's films, I say that Annie Hall was one of the first ones that I watched. And so at that point, I was a big fan of Woody Allen. But after that, I watched the rest of his the rest of his filmography, and I kind of got a little bit bored by the when he was one of the main characters, because his style is so samey, and he does talk a lot. He talks a lot of bollocks.
Oh yeah,
yeah, but surely don't you think that's the point of his character?
Yeah. I'm not saying he's bad. I mean, there's going to be a lot of fans of him, but personally, I find it quite annoying. Annie Hall is not criticism of Annie Hall at all. Like, it's a brilliant film and everything. But
I think
Woody Allen in general, I have to say that after a while, you can get enough of him. You can get enough.
No, I was speaking to my father, who very much is of the era of this film. He was kind of our age when this film came out. He said, you know, if you ask anyone his age, kind of what they're in their top 10 films, they a lot of them will have Annie Hall, just because it was such a, you know, standout film at the time.
Yeah. No, and I would too. But as a rom-com, it was quite definitive. But I still, in terms of Woody Allen in general, like I wouldn't watch. Like, there's some of his films that I don't think are worth watching. But Annie Hall is definitely up there, an absolute classic.
Should have beaten Star Wars there to the Best Picture. That's what we all want to know.
Well, we've seen a lot of films like Star Wars. They can fuck off.
Well, at least we can say. at least we can say this. I mean, if you want to get into Woody Allen, Annie Hall is a good way to start.
Right. Yeah, you won't be annoyed by Woody Allen in this film. You'll find it funny.
Yeah. I mean, he technically is a comedy genius in this. As in some of the jokes he makes.
What do you mean technically?
No, as in like. If you really listen to, like, how clever he is in his humour, as in there's not many that can compare to him.
No.
He's just very clever because he comments on different social issues in all of his jokes, and he always... There always seems to be a deeper meaning to all the jokes. Like, they're jokes, but they're also a statement about society in general.
Yeah. I think there's some... I know, Gid, that you very much like the Q scene.
Speaking of that,
why that's so wonderful.
Best scene of the film, in my opinion.
Oh, really? How?
It's the funniest scene, in my opinion.
The funniest?
It was the funniest scene of the film, I thought.
I'm trying to think. Well, why do you think it's the funniest?
Why do I think it was the funniest?
Yeah.
Probably because it was the most relatable, kind of. Like... A lot of what he was saying is kind of just like how I would feel if I was waiting in the queue for about 2 hours. And it's kind of, I feel like the best parts of the film were when you could relate to it the most.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you relate to the guy that was speaking, because that is what you would do most of the time.
That is true. Although I feel that...
I just thought it was very, very funny the way that it was... I don't know, it was just very funny. And the way they introduced
I think you're very similar, actually, to Woody Allen. I don't know. Is something what? In the extreme pessimism of life?
Yeah, I'm similar to Woody Allen. Oh, I'll take that. I'll definitely take that.
You'll take that. And
yeah, I'm not being a sure comedy genius.
Not the exactly. Not the comedy genius part, of course. So.
Yeah, but the filmmaking genius part.
I do have to say that I know it's probably meant this way, but the first half of the film is much funnier than the second half of the film.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that, really.
Like, the second half of the...
It's more poignant, yeah.
The second half of the film was very much, more poignant, kind of his outlook on life. Like, the beginning and the end, I think, are brilliant. You know, when he... Right at the beginning, it's just him speaking to the camera in, like, a blank room.
Yeah.
And at the end, he does that little... He does the quote at the end. And after they meet each other in the cafe or whatever, he says relationships are like whatever. I can't remember exactly what the quote is, but I thought that's unbelievable. I thought the movie itself is so clever. Like, the style of comedy is so clever.
No, but it's also the mixture of the styles, as in there's so many like visual effects that he uses
ties on the
screen of what he thinks they're actually thinking about. Like, it's another thing he does. He comments on human behavior. He's like, in some ways, like a psychiatrist. Like people may be saying one thing, but they're actually thinking another thing. And I thought that was very clever. And that was also one of the funniest scenes when they have those yellow subtitles come up on the screen.
Oh yeah, that is absolutely hilarious.
I thought that was when they're in bed or whatever.
No. It's when they when Annie Hall invites Alvy to her apartment, like just when they've met.
And also when they're on the plane, and he does a very similar thing there, where it's not subtitled in that scene. I think it's when it actually plays out loud what they're actually thinking. It's like when they're breaking up, when they're both thinking about breaking up with each other.
Yeah. And also brilliance of the animation scene as well, obviously.
Oh yeah. That's very clever. You know, my favorite part is actually the one when he's talking about his time in school, and he shows up and he sits as his grown-up self in school with all the children around him. It's the work of genius.
That is where I think some people could have a problem with Annie Hall, is that he's so arrogant. He's so, like, up himself. Like, it's so clever. You're just like, oh, that's so clever. But at the same time, it annoys you. Because I think that's kind of what you were talking about his other films, that this doesn't annoy you as much.
No, but I think the difference between this film and others is that often I won't laugh nearly as much, and it will just be him talking shit for about 2 hours. And I'll just be like, yeah, I'm not laughing now. I'm just listening to someone saying a lot of complicated words. Whereas, like, the script in this is far above most of his other films. And it's not even my favourite one of it. Like, Hannah and Her Sisters, I'd say, is my favourite Woody Allen film. But this is, like, in terms of the script, I'd say that and this, they were the funniest, and they were... When it's not funny, it's kind of just annoying. But I don't dislike Woody Allen. I'm just saying that you can get, like, he can get annoying.
I think at times in the film... This was one of my first Woody Allen films, but I think at times in the film, I did get annoyed. I'm not sure what Gideon was doing now. at times of the film, I did get annoyed with him. Just like, I can't remember exactly when. Like, I think the outer body scene. You know, when they're in bed together. With the weed.
Yeah.
She's on the edge of the bed. You know, just like, look, it's funny, it's clever, but like, I don't know, this, I can't describe it. It's the arrogance. He knows he's so funny.
I didn't think that scene, I don't think there's anything pretentious in Annie Hall. I do think Annie Hall, there's like, I can't really critique anything in this film. Like, it was so wonderfully, and the acting is like, Diane Keaton is wonderful. Like, he's good, but he's the same as always. Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
You really feel like you've met someone like that before in your life, like,
yeah,
awkward,
yeah.
So well, like, it's just very, that one scene where she goes where she talks to Alvy Singer after they've just played tennis together, and she like stutters,
yeah.
Oh, that's, oh, it's,
yeah, did you definitely relate to that one?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you were at the hall.
Public speaker.
I also wanted to say something that I loved was the shots. You know, the two shots where it's just a shot of the street of people walking, or like, and there's just people speaking over it. But then as it carries on, and as it carries on, they're starting walking towards the camera. And then you realize they're actually in the shot the whole time.
Yeah, I do.
So those shots were really cool.
Yeah.
But what about the relevance of the movie today? Because I'm thinking about Blazing Saddles, and I mean, it's a good movie to watch. It's funny. It's a good social commentary of that time. Whereas with Annie Hall, I think it's even more relevant today, because I mean, the relationship,
more modern.
Yeah, I mean, the topics are just more relatable when it comes to relationship. Yeah, being a bit neurotic.
I think that's probably because we're Jewish.
Might be.
No, but I would say that also Woody Allen kind of, like, he Woody Allen made the film for a different reason than Mel Brooks did. Mel Brooks is a parody, but it's also a social commentary on 1970s America. Whereas this is very much just a commentary on relationships and stuff like that. So it's
average man.
It still is more relatable to now because of that.
Because it's more timeless.
Yeah, it's timeless. It's a classic. It genuinely
also
is.
Also, everyone relates to it in a personal way, because it's like every single scene is kind of breaking down a different part of everyone's life. Like, for example, when he goes and meets the parents of Annie Hall, and the awkwardness of that conversation, or when, like, for the Q scene, or like, people experience all these scenes in their lives. And that's the comedy in this film, whereas those films, it's not as Blazing Saddle, it's not as relatable, but it's funny because it's kind of more daring and bold about racism. So I thought this film was, it's more relatable, but yeah, it's a completely different style of humour.
Yeah, different, but I know we're not getting into our favourites yet, but I would say that I did laugh more during Annie Hall than I did during Blazing Saddles. I think at times during Blazing Saddles, the humour is so absurd and so just like, oh my God, so stupid. Whereas Annie Hall, it's important moments and important messages are intertwined with just one-liners that just get you.
Yeah, but you also have to remember that Blazing Saddles, like, that style of humour has kind of now been used in so many films since, but people kind of learn from films from the past. And so people will be able to like develop that sort of humour. And so that sort of like one line of humour nowadays is just more developed than it was back then. So you might find it more basic, and that's probably why you didn't laugh as much.
Yeah, like, no, I understand that. So, yeah.
For example,
Airplane
in 1980 already, it was kind of a more developed sort of one line of humour. I laughed a lot more in that film, for example.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that, you know, as we've discussed already, kind of parodies have become worse rather than better. Blazing Saddles was kind of at the peak of parody, you know, films.
Mm-hmm.
But if we take Annie Hall and we take kind of its comedy structure and we compare that to now, like, it's only got better. Annie Hall was kind of not the breakthrough, because there's obviously very good comedies that come before Annie Hall, but like, it was one of the classic comedies that a lot of people have based their comedic style on in the future. Like, it's very different, but I think that someone like Seth Rogen and kind of his films would take inspiration from Woody Allen.
Right.
Rogen an auteur of cinema, though, in the same way that Woody Allen is. But
say no, Ricky Gervais. Ricky Gervais. He's also like a very pessimistic, a bit of a neurotic guy. I think if it wouldn't have been thanks to Woody Allen just making it a bit more, well, making it a bit more mainstream, I don't think that Ricky would have the audience that he got. Now he hasn't done anything good lately, but anyway.
I agree with that. But also I think that something we discussed earlier before the podcast that we haven't brought up yet is this idea of his visual comedy versus the dialogue itself. I know, Gid, you said earlier that the dialogue itself was very heavy in Annie Hall, and that, not in Annie Hall, in Woody Allen in general. But I would actually say that, especially in Annie Hall, I noticed that even though there were people speaking, whilst they were speaking, something is going on visually that makes it funnier. So, for example, in the Q scene that we spoke about before, when he brings out, what's the guy's name?
Yeah, I don't even remember. But yeah.
He brings out, I won't
remember. Lauren or something? I can't remember exactly what it is.
You mean the film? Yeah.
McLuhan, whatever. Anyway, when he brings him out, before he brings him out, you can see his shoulder in the shot. Like just next to the board that he brings him out of. It makes it that much funnier. You're like, oh my, he's actually going to bring him out. And then it's like, there were visual, like from what I'd heard about Woody Allen before watching the film, it's very much like so dialogue heavy, so draining. So you have to concentrate on every single word, which you do. But at the same time, I think in this, I found there were a lot of visual cues that made it that were funny that you didn't have to concentrate on the words for.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. But both films were very good at just incorporating a lot of styles of humour. But I just thought Blazing Saddles, a lot of it was more outdated. Like, people aren't going to find slapstick nearly as funny as they did. As in, like,
yeah,
that was dying. Like, Charlie Chaplin, obviously, that was the peak of slapstick.
Yeah.
Disappeared. You don't get, like, much. Like, Mr. Bean is the closest you get nowadays. But Mr. Bean isn't even that popular these days.
That's not even nowadays.
Really? Yeah, exactly. Not even a thing anymore, slapstick. I know, I was to see someone hitting their head on a window twice in like 5 minutes. I mean, what an idiot.
I thought we would also just touch briefly on the use of the romance genre, because obviously we are talking about comedies, but Annie Hall itself is a rom-com. I think that, like we said, we found Annie Hall much more relatable, that I think that the fact that it is a rom-com, and, you know, rom-coms are kind of everywhere at the moment, as they have been for the last 10, 15 years, that it helps it become that little bit more relatable. Don't know.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Wait, that, I mean,
you said that again, Tom? It's more relatable because
it's
rom-com.
Because it is romance. Yeah. Yeah.
Romance is just, it's still hip. It's still something that people are interested in.
Rom-coms.
Yeah,
but I do think that it's like, it kind of really does go against all the other rom-coms I've seen. Like, if you think about classic just rom-coms, the general formula, like Four Weddings and a Funeral, and like even like ones nowadays, every rom-com seems to be start off wanting to like go out with a girl. Then in the middle you will, and then you'll end up breaking up at the end. But this kind of like, it like inverts the formula kind of. It's very different in the way that it's not just
that was this one's formula. You're saying the normal formula should be they get together at the end.
Usually it's a happy ending, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's more realistic, you know what I mean? It's more that's more commentary on it rather than just trying to be a soppy romantic comedy. It's
what he does with Annie Hall, Woody Allen, is that he brings forth the almost complete unpredictableness of a relationship. Most of the time, they don't really know what's going on. Yeah. Oh, yes. You know, I have to say I'm Swedish for everyone who listens in. So, well, anyhow. So, I mean, he really reflects maybe the more realistic point of view of relationships in general, whereas it wasn't really that bad. Whereas, like, the soppy rom-coms you're thinking of, such as, I don't know, Love Actually or something like that, just won't make people cry. Happy.
I'd say the benchmark for rom-coms nowadays is Richard Curtis, who did like About Time and Four Weddings and a Funeral and like Love Actually, because rom-coms have become all about literally just crying and not laughing. It's just crying, but there's nothing funny about it. Whereas Annie Hall, it
it is actually a comedy, and the romance is realistic, and it's just a much better film than most rom-coms that are being made today.
Much clearer.
I would end the idea that Gideon prefers old films to new films.
Absolutely not. I think there are some genres that that is the opposite. I think of any on the top of my head, but
I think we'll discuss quickly as well. Something we spoke about was about the kind of the rise of sexuality, and I know Benjamin, you wanted to discuss this very quickly about Annie Hall.
Yeah, I think it's a very 70s thing to bring it up, because sexuality, I mean, the hippie era, everything's just sexual freedom in general. And the main thing that the movie depicts in Annie Hall is that, I mean, it's Woody Allen going out, I mean, Elvis Singer going out with Annie Hall. And they're sleeping together, and they're not necessarily getting married, and there's no thought of that. Whereas in 60s movies, it's more about married couples. I mean...
You mean 60s or just all films before then?
No, 60s and most films before that. I mean, it wasn't really something acceptable to sleep together if you weren't married, and to show, depict that in cinema.
So I guess films just... show off the culture of that decade, of course.
Yeah.
No, yeah, and I think also it's interesting that Alvie Sinner does say, you know, he is married twice before that, and it's kind of how he's also changed with the times.
Exactly. That's a very good observation. Yeah, that's... it's an important point to take.
Yeah. I mean, something I looked up and I found out is that a lot of people say that it's an autobiographical account. Whereas Woody Allen says himself, you know, this wasn't... I try and tell people that it's not autobiographical, but they don't listen to me. But he actually had a relationship with Diane Keaton just, you know, 5 years prior to the making of the film.
Yeah.
He was in a short relationship with her, and she said herself that, you know, lots of the film is partly based on their relationship. Because, you know, you can't not, when Woody Allen basically plays himself, you can't not base some of the film around their actual relationship, their actual chemistry. And I think it shows their chemistry on screen is also brilliant.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're very, very captivating, so to speak. Well, I mean...
they're both just very awkward characters, but that's the idea. They're all just, yeah. Both very Jewish, I think you could say.
Even though she's not.
Diane Keaton.
Yeah, you know, she still acts. Yeah.
But I wanted to touch upon before we spoke about the dinner scene, is that how they do the shot side by side. That's so funny.
Oh,
you know, when they brought Alvie Sinner's family, and they've also brought her family, and
they're
talking to each other.
And of course, we can all. relate to that.
Yeah, and also like the Jewish family is like pushing, like it's got more screen time than the other family does, and like very cleverly done.
Well, you know, I can tell everyone in general, except for the three of us, to all the listeners listening in, that is not. I mean, I would say that's quite a good depiction of a Jewish family, just pushiness. Just people and the neuroticism.
Just being very annoying and whiny.
All right. So we have discussed Annie Hall. We've discussed Blazing Saddles. I thought it'd be about time to compare the two. Annie Hall, 1977. Blazing Saddles, 1974. But they're both comedies in a comedic era. Two of the most famous comedies of that era, both with groundbreaking legacies. You know, Woody Allen, of course, is much more known, but Blazing Saddles itself voted as one of the most important films of all time, one of the best comedies of all time in lots of different magazines and whatnot. So it also has its own legacy. But if we're going to compare the two, I think it's a good place to start.
I think we've already done that to an extent.
An extent, of course. But I would like to compare them very... we can do it briefly here, but what it comments upon, because I think that Annie Hall, like we've suggested, is much more realistic. It comments upon, you know, relationships. It comments upon love. It comments upon, you know, whatever, where very small things in everyday life. Whereas the Blazing Saddles will comment upon wider cultural problems. So I do you agree with that, you two?
I wouldn't say that Annie Hall only comments on small everyday things, but Woody Allen seems to, like, Woody Allen is himself in the movie, and he's getting his own opinions across of these big issues. Whereas I think Mel Brooks in Blazing Saddles is a completely different thing. He's not, he's not trying to get his own opinions out. He's trying to desensitize the problem of racism. So it's kind of like Woody Allen is giving his personal opinion in Annie Hall of various, like, societal issues, whereas Mel Brooks is giving the overall opinion about racism that I think everyone's thinking about, or not everyone, but, like, he's giving what most people in 1970 think about racism, and that it should be, that it should just, like, it's about time that people got over it and, like, it became a thing of the past.
Would you agree with that, Ben?
Well, yeah, I think so, because the movies themselves, Annie Hall is, it's Woody Allen. It's 100% Woody Allen, whereas Blazing Saddles it's not screaming Mel Brooks in a sense. It could be done by,
The comedic style is, it's just his...
Yeah, maybe it's because... Even though, both directors are involved and have, obviously Woody Allen has a more important role in Annie Hall than Mel Brooks in Blazing Saddles. But, in Blazing Saddles, Mel Brooks, I agree on that part. He wants to give something else. He wants to talk about racism, whereas Woody Allen's just complaining.
He is complaining, as in it's more how society is affecting him rather than society as a whole. Whereas race is not about how racism is affecting Mel Brooks in Blazing Saddles, for example. He's addressing an issue, but more removed from the issue. Whereas Woody Allen is literally just complaining about, like, many different things. Whereas, yeah. So, yeah, it's more personal.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you think we can compare the two? We've already compared very much the
Phoenix. You compared it, yeah. All the aspects, really.
But,
both great films.
Yeah, I think we would all agree that we both thoroughly enjoyed watching these films this week, and that both made us laugh a lot, and it was a very good way to start this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Is there anything else you guys want to add before we move on to voting and stuff like that?
You know, I feel that we're ready for the vote.
Anything to add, Gideon?
No. That's about it.
All right. Two great films. 1977 Annie Hall, 1974 Blazing Saddles. Gideon, what's your vote? Which one do you prefer?
Films. It's a very hard decision to say what's better.
And also explain your decision so that people understand.
Yeah. In terms of entertainment value...
No. It's not in terms of anything. Which one do you prefer, straight up?
Which one do I think is a better film? I would say that Annie Hall is a more polished, well-made film than Blazing Saddles. Blazing Saddles has very good intentions, and it's very, like, it is funny, and it has a deeper message than Annie Hall, I'd say, but it's more outdated in its humour, and it's not as relatable. And Annie Hall is also it's just more polished. It's more, you can tell it's the work of, like, a master of his craft. The script is very clever. It's just, yeah. Overall, I'd say I prefer Annie Hall. But it's a close run thing.
Benjamin?
Well, I would say, now I have to say Annie Hall, just because I think I laughed more. watching Annie Hall, and it was just more beautiful to watch. I didn't talk a lot about the cinematography of Annie Hall, but the different styles that Woody Allen applies capturing the different scenes, I think it's done in a more refined way than in Blazing Saddles. And I also think I like more cynical humor better. So that might also be why Annie Hall would be my choice that I prefer. Yeah.
Nice. So that's two votes for Annie Hall, and it's going to be a clean sweep. I'm also going to say Annie Hall.
No, I want to make it clear that you can't definitively say one is better than the other, seeing as they are completely different. Even though they're both comedies, technically, they are completely different styles of comedy. And if you prefer the humour in Blazing Saddles to the one in Annie Hall, then you're going to prefer that film. But
yeah, I mean, but obviously, you know, this is a personal decision, and all of us, you know, have our own thoughts. Like, and I, as a film, if I'm sitting down and those two films are in front of me, I'm going to watch Annie Hall again. I preferred it.
I think we all agree on that.
It was annoying at times, you know, Woody Allen.
I agree.
But, you know, it's funny, it's great, it's clever, and I prefer it. So that's 3-0. Annie Hall wins this first episode. Next time you guys hear from us, we will be speaking still about the 1970s. And we're yet to decide what genre, so you have to come back and hear. I think that wraps it up for today. Anything else to add before we finish?
Thank you for listening in.
Thank you for listening in, guys. This has been the I'm Talking Here podcast. If you didn't get that at the beginning, it's a play on the classic I'm Walking Here movie line. If you want to hear more from us, we're at the imtalkinghere.podbean.com website, and I'm on Twitter at Tom Gould. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And hopefully you'll join us for another one soon. Say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.